You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Ask a Black Doctor with Dr. Bukasi Dubé. First and foremost, thank you everyone that came out last weekend to our event, the vaccination day party we had, Numbers and Friends, featuring DJs Sean Mick. It's Sean Mick. DJ 8 Flat, we had Chach, I Spun, and then we had an opening set that was completely surprised, came out of nowhere from NBA player Al-Farouq Aminu. He spun from 3 to 4. That was really, really dope. So you can make sure you check that out. Follow us on Twitch and our social media to see the recap for that. I'm very, very happy to announce that we had 38 community members vaccinated last weekend at the event. So that's, you know, that's really, really great. We still need to get totals from the first event, but we're going to continue to do this throughout the summer. We have a long list of events, another 6 or 7 events out here in Madison Parklet, right in front of the Portland Art Museum, going all the way until the end of August. So make sure you head over to the website, follow us on all social media, spread the word. There are cash incentives for vaccinations and for referrals. So now that I've done all the commercial talk, all the promo talk, Doc, how are you today?
Doing well, my man. Doing well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really encouraged. I know we're going to be talking about the Delta variant today, but I'm really encouraged with the way the community is coming out and starting to, you know, accept what this is going to look like moving forward as far as the things that we need to do to stay safe. We are seeing national numbers starting to go up. And it looks like, for the most part, and correct me if I'm wrong, 99% of the new cases are popping up from people that are unvaccinated.
You know, I think we've talked about this in the past. It's really sad. We're really seeing a pandemic of two Americas. People who are vaccinated and people who are not vaccinated. And the vast majority of people, high 90s, are people who are not vaccinated ending up in the hospital.
Right.
So the best way to protect yourself now is to get vaccinated. This is now a preventable disease. So please, please, please get out there and get vaccinated.
Yeah. We always talk about the politicization that was responsible for some of the skepticism around being vaccinated. And, you know, even today, it's still playing out. I caught some news footage over the weekend where some of the people that are aligned with the right, with the Republican Party, politically aligned, are still today, you know, doubting the science, even though the former president himself and his family is vaccinated. It's almost as if they forgot that he at one point did contract COVID-19 and received all of the, you know, medical help he could and treatment he could to make it through that. So obviously it works. Obviously this is a way to stay protected and stay safe. And even still, people are fighting the vaccine.
Yeah, it's quite unfortunate. Reassured by the fact that I saw something that I heard a news clip yesterday of Sean Hannity, who was reaching out to people on Fox News saying, hey, please get vaccinated. This is COVID-19 is real and these vaccines work.
Sean Hannity was saying this?
Yes. So
that's amazing.
I try to be as apolitical as possible, but it was impressive to see him essentially plead with people to get vaccinated.
Yeah,
because like we've talked about, it's those that are not vaccinated are the ones that are ending up in the hospital.
Right, And this is, you know, this is nature. Nature has no, this disease has no political affiliation. We're drawing lines ourselves as citizens, but it doesn't matter who you vote for. COVID doesn't care who you vote for. If you are unprotected and you're out here just moving wild, you are putting not just yourself, but other members of the community at risk.
That is very true. The important thing is remembering that you're not just putting yourself at risk, you're putting other members in the community at risk.
Right.
You don't want to be the one to bring the Delta variant to grandma, or grandpa, your aunt, your uncles, or your parents, right? Or even your kids.
Yeah.
Or your siblings. You don't want to be that person that does that. So protect yourself, protect the community. You know, you said something very interesting at the very beginning. Well, I should note two things that you said at the very beginning. One was 38 people got vaccinated on Saturday at your event. That's amazing. That's pretty neat that you guys are continuing to do this and you're getting that many people vaccinated. And then the second thing was, man, we have to give a shout out to Al-Farouk Aminu for coming out and supporting this event.
Yes.
Being a basketball fan, I have to, and seeing when you see celebrities coming out and supporting the right thing, and doing the right thing for the community, that's amazing. So
yes,
shout out to Aminu for doing that.
Super shout out, super shout out. So let's talk again. Let's talk some more in depth about COVID-19 variants. So we have discussed them in the past. The one that is most prevalent right now is the Delta variant. And that's not to say that even with us discussing Delta and dealing with Delta, that there aren't other variants in circulation or coming behind it. But for those that may not understand what the variant is or how they came about, could you talk about that, Doc? What are the COVID-19 variants?
So variants come about when they occur when viruses mutate and change, and this is constantly happening all the time. So the higher the disease burden in the community, the higher the chances that there will be new variants. There's some viruses that like COVID-19 that have a high mutation rate. It's essentially a way that viruses use to try and stay relevant and beat the system and spread as much as possible. And that's when in the past we've talked about a race between human beings trying to get vaccinated, trying to ensure that there's community immunity or herd immunity, and viruses trying to change as quickly as possible to evade whatever systems that we're coming up with. So when we suppress the number of cases in the community, we are also suppressing the number of mutations, the number of variants out there in the community.
So you mentioned something earlier. You used a phrase. I think it was a viral the burden.
Yes.
Could you kind of break that down? What exactly does that mean?
So it just means that the number of cases in the community, number of people who are infected with COVID-19.
Okay. Yeah. So to be clear, the more people infected, the higher chance of mutation.
That is true.
Okay. What could you tell us specifically about this Delta variant? What are some, maybe if there are some new developments or things specifically about this variant?
So the Delta variant is causing havoc all over the world. It is now the dominant strain in the US. In Oregon, it accounts for about, in the last two or so weeks, it accounts for about 30 to 50% of all new cases.
Wow.
We can't talk about the Delta variant without talking about the Alpha variant, which is the B117, the one that took over from the original strain.
Right.
The Alpha variant, which was initially discovered in the UK, the B117, was incredibly transmissible. It was 50% more transmissible than the first variant, the original strain. Mm-hmm. What's concerning about the Delta variant is that it is way more transmissible than the Alpha variant. So it's two times more transmissible than the original strain. So it's something that we're really concerned about, and we're seeing these numbers rise, especially in communities that have low vaccination rates. So the main thing is, you know, protect yourself, protect your family, protect your community by getting vaccinated. And just like Aminu was preaching this past weekend, do the right thing to protect your community so that we can get back and watch the Blazers in person, right?
Right, because that's what we want. We all want to be able to just get back to what we remember as normal. Yeah. And we all have a part. So there's been this conversation about personal responsibility, personal responsibility. Yeah, you have a responsibility. You have a personal responsibility to make sure you aren't responsible for spreading the disease. You know,
Harm yourself. Harm yourself, and don't harm others.
Exactly.
Right. So protect yourself, and prevent the spread of the disease.
I mean, this is a lot of power, right? It's a lot of power and responsibility that we have individually. And I think people need to look at it that way. Like, understand that you, the decisions that you're making, have a huge effect on those around you. So if you are leery, if you have any questions, concerns about anything that you're hearing, this is too great of a situation and too dire of a situation. You don't just get to sit on your hands and wonder. Do some research. Do some research. Get the answers that you need, because they are out there. And if the answer seems kind of weird, double check it. There are many different sources of information and different places where you can find the answers to what you need to make a safe decision, to make the right decision. Maybe you're up in the air about which vaccine you want to take. That's a legitimate question. There are places to find those answers as well. But to just not get involved and sit on the sidelines, this isn't one of those situations where we have that option. We just do not. Do we need to worry about variants if we're fully vaccinated? And how effective are the vaccines against the variants?
So that's a very good question. What we know so far is that our vaccines work very effectively against these variants, and they prevent the thing that we care most about, which is severe illness and hospitalization. So the two mRNA vaccines, the Pfizer and the Moderna, as well as, you know, the adenovirus vector vaccine, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, work incredibly well in preventing severe illness and in preventing hospitalization. Just like we talked about earlier, people who are being hospitalized now are ones that are not vaccinated,
right,
which tells us that, hey, vaccines work.
Right, right.
And they're effective.
Yeah, it is incredible. When I saw that number, that 99% of the new cases are from our unvaccinated population, it was alarming, especially because we're seeing these numbers rise in all 50 in 50 states. I went to a family function earlier this week, and I remember taking my mask out of the car with me. And as I was walking into the house, I thought to myself, no, everyone here is vaccinated. And I started thinking about the conversation we had last week and the week before that, where, you know, it helped me help diffuse some of the fears that I had being around people. When you were like, if everyone's vaccinated, you're good. Like, the variant doesn't have anywhere to go. You know, even if it were on a surface for, you know, a certain amount of time, like, that's not a highly communicable situation. Like, we don't have to live in fear. And I think that's important for people to try to remember that. We can reduce the stress level. We can reduce the fear if we go ahead and just take the steps to make sure we're safe, to ensure our safety. We talked about stress in some of our earlier episodes and how that affects our health, physical and mental health.
Yeah.
Can you remind me, what was the name of that? So was it chronic stress syndrome?
Yes, so chronic stress syndrome is a situation where people who are under a significant amount of stress have this high level of hormones that are typically not supposed to be there all the time. They're supposed to be present only under stressful situations, only under very acute situations, such that they help you fight or flee whatever it is that you're experiencing. But if they're there all the time, right, they then lead to all these other conditions, all these underlying conditions, the diabetes, the obesity, the high blood pressure, heart attacks, strokes. And that's why that causes a lot of problems in the community, right? You can imagine someone getting COVID-19 and they have all these underlying conditions.
Right.
The outcome is not going to be very good.
Right. Yeah. So chronic, and that's the thing, chronic stress syndrome is kind of like a baseline for a lot of us.
Yes.
So to have that base level of stress, and then on top of that, whatever you're dealing with daily, you know, stress at your jobs, you know, stress in any relationship interactions, you know, so now that's compounded stress on top of our bodies having to try to fight off variants and other communicable diseases and viruses. That is a lot. That's a lot to deal with.
It's a lot on one system, right? It necessarily means that your immune system is weakened by virtue of being in this chronic stress situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you encounter things that your body would, if were it not for the stress, your body would be able to fight adequately, your body is no longer able to do that and
right.
get sicker.
Right. Yeah. So running the conversation back around to COVID-19 and the vaccine specifically, the vaccine is one aspect of things we should be considering just with our overall health. It's our current crisis that we're dealing with. So the COVID-19 boosters have been in the news lately. Should people just start planning to get a booster soon? Like, I know we get flu boosters every single year. And, you know, what should be the conversation around that we could be having with members of our family and members of our community around the booster shots? Because I'm sure a lot of people are like, OK, well, I already got my vaccine. Now you're telling me I need something else. Does the vaccine really work?
So that's a very good question. And Pfizer, you know, jumped the gun I think last week or maybe 10 days ago and talked about people needing the booster without collaboration with the CDC and the FDA. So at this point, what we know is that what OHA is saying, what the CDC is saying, and what other advisory bodies like the Advisory Committee on immunization practices, saying that we don't need boosters at this point because our vaccines work. And what we know is that, hey, there are people who got vaccinated last summer who were part of the earliest trials who are showing very effective immunity, you know, a year later. So these vaccines work for a very, very long time. It's also, there's a question of morality as well, right? We can't be going around getting boosters when the rest of the world is not fully vaccinated. When the rest of the world is, I mean, there are countries that don't even have 5% of their population vaccinated.
Wow.
So it seems rather unethical of us to be requesting boosters when other countries are still not vaccinated. Remember this new variant, the Delta variant, it was initially discovered in India.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so our borders are not tight.
Right.
So if we don't step up and help other countries, if we don't step up and ensure that other countries are vaccinated, guess what? It's going to end up back here in our country, and we're going to have the same problem. So the sooner we have other folks vaccinated, the sooner this pandemic will end.
I hadn't even thought about the implications of us discussing boosters when there are other nations that have such low vaccination numbers. I remember early on when we were even talking about the speed in which the vaccines were produced and the skepticism around that. And the answer to that, one of the answers to that was that this was a worldwide problem that so many different nations and so many different health organizations were working together to solve. And now that we start are actively implementing solutions, it's important that these same efforts, the exact same energy and efforts are used to make sure everyone has access to the solution.
Very true, very true. If you remember, we talked about this. The Johnson and Johnson is a very good example where it was tried the world over, and they had trials in South Africa, in Brazil, in Peru. So it's incumbent on us to make sure that those countries get vaccinated too. There's what's called there's another variant that's called the Lambda variant, and this one is primarily it was initially discovered in Peru. That is going to be a problem sooner or later, if we don't ensure that those countries are vaccinated. So we need to step up and be the leader that we claim to be, and vaccinate and ensure that other countries have access to these vaccines.
How much do we know about that new variant, as far as the rate of spread, and are there any additional side effects? And I know there were some. I think the side effects of the Delta variant were much more detrimental. How much do we know about this new variant?
So it's we based on the data that we have so far from the countries that have experienced it, it's probably not as transmissible as the Delta variant. But I would say don't quote me on that, because we're still gathering information. And at this point, the one that we're most concerned about, the one that's most prevalent in this country right now, is the Delta variant. And we know that that's very, very, very trans that's highly transmissible. It's the most transmissible variant out there.
Thank you for saying, don't quote me on that. And we're still gathering data and still learning about that. I want to make sure we're constantly reminding people this is how science works. We're constantly learning new and new information, gaining new and new data, and then having to implement, or alter our practices according to the new information. I've been
Very true.
watching some of our politicians get into arguments on the Hill with Dr. Fauci saying, well, previously you said this, and now you're saying that. And it's frustrating to watch our political leaders not understand basic scientific concepts of discovery and rediscovery and implementing the new. It's almost like the science that we had in the 1700s should still be implemented today because science doesn't change. It's really weird.
You bring up a very important point, right? We talked about you talked about how when you went to your family gathering, there was you had your mask, and then everybody was vaccinated, and then there were questions about, oh, if the virus were to go on surfaces, what should we do? Early on in the pandemic, when we didn't have that much information, and we thought that the virus stays alive and on surfaces for a very long time, we went in a frenzy, right? Cleaning everything over and over and over and over again. And now we know that actually fomite transmission, which is what it's called, is not that, it's not as prevalent as we thought it was. And so we have to adjust our practices. I'm reminded of the story of Louis Pasteur. The French microbiologist who taught us a lot about germ theory, and who convinced a lot of people that, hey, germs actually do exist, and people don't get sick from evil humor or evil spirits.
Right.
It's this microscopic organisms that we can't see, hence the name microscopic, that cause illness. And once we caught on to that, we realized that, oh, you know what? We changed our practices. We started making sure that we were not reusing surgical instruments on different patients without autoclaving them, right? We started making sure that our ORs were clean so that people didn't get new infections from being in the OR.
Right.
And same thing in the hospital. We started instituting all these cleaning practices to ensure that our hospitals were clean and people were not dying from just merely being in the hospital.
Yeah. I was just about to ask you that, based on, trying to decrease the amount of spread and that just trying to create healthy environments as you're, attending to patients. What have been some of the huge changes just in practice at hospitals because of COVID-19, and how have they relaxed with some of the new information?
Well, so at the very beginning, right, people were using PPE all the time.
Right.
And that was unnecessary, but because we didn't know any better, to protect the medical infrastructure, that was done.
Right.
Now we have COVID units where people nurses have what's called a COVID runner. So someone who dresses up, there's a nurse who dresses up and takes care of the patient in the room so that they're not going in and out all the time and having to de-gown and remove their mask if they need to see. And they have someone, another person who is going around and getting stuff for them while they're in the room. So all these practices are done to ensure that we don't quickly use up our supply of PPE and that we're not wasteful as well. So
right.
It's good to see that our medical practice has caught up or is catching up to the reality on the ground, to the scientific reality on the ground.
What are some of the technological advances that are being researched now that you think could be helpful in the future with maybe early detection or, making these, giving the community higher safeguards?
So I have seen a lot of things that are being studied that have not come out as yet. I saw a study about dogs that can sniff this out.
Oh, wow.
I saw a study about trying to use sweat to try and detect the virus, but none of this is peer reviewed yet. None of this is published in reputable journals, and more studies need to be done. So, as more technologies come into being, what's effective and what can be used in the community. You have to remember, necessity is the mother of all invention, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So there's much work going on to increase vaccination amongst Black and African American and African immigrant communities. What are the latest numbers?
Oh, man. So I have to come out and say this up front, right? For us to get to a point where Black folks have reached community immunity, herd immunity, mm-hmm. which what we're looking for is to get to 80% by the end of August. And this is not just in the Black community, it's in all communities, but we're focusing primarily on the Black community,
right?
Because of the radio show and because of that's where we see the greatest need.
Right? Yeah, and we're at highest risk.
We're at highest risk, right? Right now we're still, Black folks are still being hospitalized at 4 times the rate of Caucasians.
Wow.
And so it's scary.
Yeah.
And we still have about 47% of Black folks vaccinated. That's 47%. The state has already reopened because the entire state is at 70%.
Wow.
So we need to do something to ensure that we catch up to everybody else and to get to that 80%.
Right.
As the state reopens, there's going to be more transmission. And as more transmission means more people getting sick, it means more people getting hospitalized, it means potentially more people dying. So to prevent all of that, go out there, people, and get vaccinated. Go out there, my brothers and sisters, and get vaccinated.
And with more people getting sick, I know we talked about this before, you can't get vaccinated at the point. You have to wait until whatever the symptoms are before you can get vaccinated. So as more people are contracting and coming down with symptoms, it slows our actual rate of being able to vaccinate people.
Very true. Very true. Yeah. So we end up not being able to, we end up not reaching our goal of vaccinating, 80% of the population due to more infections. But more concerning is that we end up with more sick people.
Right.
Who are infected. So the call is please go out there and get vaccinated.
We are in control. We have the power to make sure we have a safer community. We have a responsibility to do what we can to reduce the spread of the Delta variant and COVID-19 in general. We also have the ability to reduce the probability of even more variants. So let's make sure we are getting vaccinated, please. Again, Dr. Bukasi Dubey's information will be in the comment section, will be in the description, rather, for the episode. A list of the events at which you can come out to and be vaccinated will also be in the episode. And please, share this with as many people as possible. We want to make sure everyone has the information they need. And if you have specific questions, you can go to the website, thenumbers.fm, and post a question right there for the doctor, and we'll address it in the next episode. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
You are welcome, man. It's good to see you again. And
yes,
again, a shout out to Aminu for stopping by and doing his thing.
That was amazing. We'll catch you guys next week.
All right. Peace.
Peace. Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.